Welcome to another episode of This Week in Crypto. My name is Singh, and this is the episode for April 29th, 2018. In episode 15, we're going to talk about Brandt slashes cryptocurrency taxes in half. The court forces Chile's banks to reopen crypto exchanges. Bitcoin users seeking lawsuit against Bitcoin.com and, yes, Roger Ver, the most profitable market of all time, NASDAQ, is looking at getting into crypto. And much, much more in This Week in Crypto. Hey guys, let's get this party started off with a data breach that exposes thousands of investors in a John McAfee-backed cryptocurrency. So what's going on here? Well, it looks like Cromtech Securities revealed a data breach that was tied to investors of the BZOP cryptocurrency. I think it's BZOP, but we'll go with whatever comes first. The cybersecurity firm made the announcement around April 25th, and they basically announced that leaked exposed confidential information about investors of the Bezos crypto. But what exactly got leaked? Well, the sensitive information exposed by the breach, get this, included full names, wallet information, and even scanned photos of their IDs and documents. That's more than 25,000 investors were infected by the leak, and apparently the team at BZOP failed to secure a MongoDB database. And that's what caused the opening that allowed for the hackers to get in. BZOP is a startup cryptocurrency that, with its own blockchain-powered e-commerce app platform. But here's the interesting thing, there were some conflicting reports. Now, BZOP posted an announcement through Medium, and they stated that it was already aware of the leak and that the issue had been resolved since January of this year. Now, according to the announcement, the platform had suffered a DDoS attack, which had exposed some unsecured databases on the platform. Despite that, a Twitter user claims to have seen the leaked database online as recently as March 30th, months after it was supposedly secured by BZOP. The crypto startup insists that the only breach was in January and any new reports are simply old news. It's important to note that the Cromtech report confirms that the database leak did occur. Though another bit of controversy, perhaps more concerning than the actual leak itself, is that the leak appears to have been deliberately orchestrated. Did I just say that? Deliberately orchestrated. Now, according to Cromtech researchers, changes made to the MongoDB protocol makes it impossible for such a mistake to occur. This means that the database was intentionally configured to be accessible to the public. And get this, guys, John McAfee, the cybersecurity tycoon, is one of the investors exposed by the leaked database. He's also listed as an advisor on the BZOP website. So that's kind of interesting. McAfee has previously touted the platform as having the potential to challenge Amazon in the e-commerce scene. The BZOP Medium post also indicated that McAfee had been paid to promote the platform, something we talked about weeks ago, how McAfee, who has more than 800,000 followers on Twitter, charges as much as $105,000 to promote an ICO on his Twitter account. All right, moving along. There is a startup in India that is taking the RBI, the Reserve Bank of India, to court over its cryptocurrency ban. The RBI will be going to court, and this comes after a crypto startup has basically put forward a petition contesting the bank's conditional ban on cryptocurrency. Now, for the most part, we know that the Indian government has been very hostile towards cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin, and there's no doubt that its population is all aboard the crypto train, showing a keen interest in the digital currency industry, especially considering the world's largest so-called democracy's wealth gap is extraordinary, with the top 1% bagging about 73% of the nation's profits this year alone. So this circular detailing the ban, titled, quote, withdrawing banking support to virtual currency exchanges, end quote, is getting the whole Indian crypto community talking and taking action. According to Inc42 and Quartz India, a crypto startup has taken the RBI to task, or rather, to court about the matter. Kali Digital Ecosystems has gone to the Delhi High Court with a petition to have their circular revoked. The court has accepted the petition and subsequently issued a notice to the RBI, the Indian government, and the Goods and Services Tax, or GST Council. The reason for including the Republic of India is that the government, through the Department of Economic Affairs, essentially gave the RBI the authority to issue the circular. The GST Council was included as they have still not released a regulatory framework or guidelines with within regards to the cryptocurrency use and trade in the country. In addition to the courts, the country's crypto community is taking their grievances online too. They have petitioned on change.org, which has already been signed by over 43,000 people. And it reads, I'm going to read this to you guys. Crypto and blockchain as a concept can't be stopped. You can just decide whether you want to participate with full throttle or get left behind. The current stance from the government shows they would want to remain left behind after missing the internet revolution first, AI revolution next, and now the blockchain revolution. Kali Digital hopes to launch their own crypto exchange, CoinRecoil, in August of this year. And with regard to their petition, we'll have to wait about another month for any new developments as the case is scheduled to be heard on the 24th of May. So, pretty soon, this coming month. So this piece of news really caught my attention. Amazon Web Services introduces Ethereum and Hyperledger blockchain templates. I literally stopped my tracks, guys. So, launching a new inroad into the world of blockchain technology, AWS, introduced the Instant Blockchain Templates, and they allow users to launch public and private networks based on Ethereum and private ones based on Hyperledger Fabric with just a couple of clicks. Now, the news comes right on the heels of this revolution that Amazon has been granted a patent covering their, quote, streaming data marketplace. And while we're yet to see whether the company will carry through on this idea, it goes to show that it's certainly showing a lot of interest in the cryptoverse. Now, last week we talked about Pornhub embracing Verge, which means it's now dabbling in the cryptoverse, at least by payment standards. Now Amazon. This truly goes to show that the adoption of cryptocurrency is happening, and it's happening fast. And a lot of these banks, though, they're telling people, hey, you know what? You guys, you don't want to deal in this. You don't want to invest in this. It's very volatile. What's going on in the back end is they're grabbing up as much position as possible so that they can control the narrative later. But if we can't see it in the forefront, we should at least be able to see it with these news articles, especially with Amazon jumping in and creating this DIY blockchain. Now, the main intention behind the launch is to allow developers to focus on building their blockchain-based apps instead of setting up of the blockchain network and fumbling while they do it. So the deployment of the frameworks will happen by using certified as well as managed AWS CloudFormation templates. Now, supposedly, users will be able to create their own networks within minutes, guys. And in the official announcement, Jeff Barr, the chief evangelist of AWS, also noted that users are basically off the hook in terms of having to spend extra for access of the templates. So you and I can get access to these templates, and we don't have to pay anything else for it. As an AWS user, one would assume you'd have to pay only for the resources required to run your blockchain networks. So the way this is going to work, the AWS blockchain templates are to deploy the particular blockchain framework that you choose as containers on the Amazon Elastic Container Service Cluster, or ECS, and directly on an EC2 instance running Docker. The networks launched within the AWS templates, based on Ethereum, are going to support Ethereum mining, and it'll provide an ETHstats page for monitoring the network's metrics. Also, they would provide an ETH Explorer toolkit, which would enable the user to explore the transactions as well as the smart contracts, which are entered into the ledger. Now, I'm going to stop there because it's going to get even more technical as I read the facilitating progress and a bunch of the stuff that's in this article. But what I'm really interested in and focused in is that, hey, last week it was Pornhub. This week it's Amazon. It's so apparent that crypto is here to stay. And if governments aren't going to embrace it, like we have Iran banning banks from touching Bitcoin, then they're going to be left behind. I mean, the article that I was reading even earlier this week was basically that in an attempt to halt currency crisis and over concern related to money laundering, the central bank of Iran has banned the banks of its country from dealing in virtual currencies such as Bitcoin and Ethereum and all these cryptos. So what's really going to happen is those nations that decide, hey, you know what, we're not going to get on this bandwagon, they're going to be left behind. And we're going to definitely, and I keep saying this, I keep beating a dead horse, is that the power is going to change. There's going to be a change in power based on where the money is allocated. And if money and currency is going the route of cryptocurrency, it would only pay for countries and nations to accept this form of currency, rather than being left behind. So the next superpower is going to be decided not by who's got the biggest army, but who has the freest economy. And that's what it seems like is happening. I'm going to lead right into this next one, and that's Malta's prime minister stating that cryptocurrencies are inevitable as far as the future of money is concerned. Now, again, if you guys notice, we're on a certain theme, and it's apparent. When it comes to effective cryptocurrency regulation and encouragement, Malta is years, and I'm talking years ahead of most of the competition. And it was noted by Bloomberg that the island nation's prime minister, Joseph Muscat, claimed that the cryptocurrencies are the inevitable future of money and will probably form the future global economy's foundation. And that's what I keep on emphasizing here. However, Maltese officials also understand that crypto carries benefits in the near term, with Binance planning to eventually hire up to 200 people during its relocation from Hong Kong. Malta has made itself a very, very attractive destination for cryptocurrency exchanges and companies, with its fair and defined rules and regulations, which, if we know anything about, the government claims will offer legal certainty in a space that is currently unregulated. On top of that, it's so apparent that the enticing tax rates of as little as, get this guys, 5% for international companies is just it's too good to pass up. Now, the island is currently positioning itself in direct competition of major crypto hubs like Japan, South Korea, and even Hong Kong, all of which house a plethora of major exchanges. Japan is arguably in the lead currently with pro-cryptocurrency regulated or regulations aimed at eradicating theft and fraud while protecting, or so they say, protecting consumers and encouraging development. South Korea and Hong Kong, on the other hand, are leaving the doors open for Malta to assert its dominance. And I'm going to be very interested to see what Malta does, how it continues to progress, and where it kind of sways other nations at how they're going to move. As Malta's prime minister talks about the inevitable future of cryptos and cryptocurrency, we hear on another end that Tim Draper stating that it's bigger than the internet. Who's Tim Draper, you may be asking? Well, he's a venture capitalist, and he remains bullish, basically, regarding the prospects of Bitcoin. Now, the early investor in Skype, Hotmail, and he also invested in Tesla, bought some 30,000 units of the largest cryptocurrency by market cap back in 2014 in the US Marshals Service auction and revealed that he is still holding all of them. Now, if that's true, that means he's holding around about approximately 270 million-ish, give or take us a bit, as of today's prices. Now, earlier this year, in an obvious bear market, Draper cracked the crowd with his prognosis of Bitcoin price scenario where the cryptocurrency will hit 250,000 by the end of 2022. Now, as reported by CNBC, Draper took part in the Intelligence Squared US debate where his optimistic sentiment towards the development of the largest crypto and its underlying tech seemed to be stronger than ever. He was basically noted as saying that, and I'm going to find this quote here, there it is, that this is bigger than the internet. It's bigger than the Iron Age, the Renaissance. It's bigger than the Industrial Revolution. This affects the entire world, and it's going to be affected in a faster and more prevalent way than you ever imagined. Now, Draper has been very well known for his positive approach and attitude towards this crypto revolution. And as others start seeing this, they're beginning to catch on as well. Debating alongside Draper was Overstock.com CEO Patrick Byron. And he's referring to his opponent's statement by saying that this has been hacked at more than anything in history and has never been defeated. Last I checked, banks get hacked too. And yeah, Bitcoin is used by unsavory characters. Last I checked, they use US dollars too. And as it turns out, the percentage of Bitcoin transactions which are related to money laundering and other illegal, illicit, nefarious activity actually declined almost tenfold since 2013 from 1.07%. Yeah, guys, 1.07%. I mean, let's get real. Cash, cold hard cash, has more than that. And it's dropped now to not 1%, not 0.8%, not 0.80%, 0.12% in 2016. The recent Bitcoin surge has carried the cryptocurrency past 9.2K at the time of reading this. And we kind of see this. It's kind of struggling to get above a certain ceiling, which if you guys want to check it out in the investment TA that I usually post out there. But we have a ceiling that I really want to get past, and that's the 9,700. I'd love to get past the 9,300, and it looks like we're doing that, but we keep shying down, we keep shooting back down for some reason. But once we get past that 9,700 is where I've got my focus on. But anyways, I digress. With this surge comes a rising wave of positivity, and with positivity, possibly an end to the bearish market. And that's what I'm looking at. The first quarter of 2018 might have been really, really devastating for a lot of us, but it looks like things are going to turn around. And if they do, that's amazing. That's great. But the thing that really gets me focused on why isn't the price. I went to a conference earlier, went with two of my colleagues from the Crypto Coin Guru here, and the line that really struck out to me that Mr. Antonopoulos had spoke about when he had first gotten on stage, literally within the first 5 minutes. Andreas Antonopoulos basically said, "They came for the price, get them to stay for the principle." And that's the important part. We all might have came into this market thinking, hey, this is a way to make money. But when we really dive into this, we dive into this whole Bitcoin ideology or this blockchain ideology, we see that there is a principle, an underlying principle that once we understand it, there's no turning back. Moving right along, MEW, well, my Ether wallet, that is, and my crypto confirmed the hack. So my Ether wallet has confirmed the hack via its Twitter account. An Ethereum address possibly linked to the hack has been identified, and the address has already been tagged on Etherscan under suspicion of being involved in the hack. Now, according to Etherscan, the tagged address conducted 180 transactions during the hack this week, stealing about 215 Ether, or $150,000 in the process. And the interesting thing is my crypto, a my Ether wallet rival service, has confirmed the DNS hack. The platform posted a tweet announcing that MEW and MEW user accounts have been compromised, in which seems to be seen less than subtle. So what exactly happened? There have been reports of problems with the Google DNS service on April 24th. Binance posted a tweet in the early hours of the day telling users that Google DNS was experiencing problems, and apparently users of the platform had been affected by service disruptions. There's no indication of a connection between the Google DNS disruption and the MyEther wallet DNS hack. However, a tweet posted by the Cobra Bitcoin alluded to a possible link between the two incidences. But again, that was far from the truth. So the MEW user broke news on Reddit saying that about 0.09 ETH, which was about $65, had been stolen from their account, and the user had apparently fallen victim to a phishing scam. The interesting thing is that the affected user also reported that upon visiting the site, the notification appeared that the connection wasn't secured. That's an anomaly for a service like MyEther Wallet and an indication that something's wrong. The user ignored the warning. Okay, when you guys see something like that, don't ignore it, and entered their details, and within 10 seconds, the coins were stolen. MEW isn't the only Ethereum-based service to have been hacked via DNS exploit. Ether Delta was hacked in December of last year, and many experts believe that the phenomenon is due to the vulnerability created by the presence of a single point of failure in these services. So it looks like Nasdaq CEO Adna Friedman, who's a major figure in the world of finance, basically explained that she believes that the digital currency will continue to persist. and in her opinion, it's just a matter of how long it'll take for that space to mature. She stated that once you look at it and say, do we want to provide a regulated market for this, certainly NASDAQ would consider it. NASDAQ has already dipped its toes in the world of cryptos, announcing that it plans to collaborate with the Tyler and Cameron Winklevosses, the Winklevoss twins, their digital asset exchange Gemini. It also partnered with the San Diego firm, ETF firm, Reality Shares, which plans to launch a pair of blockchain-related funds before the end of June. Now, it's interesting because if we look at it, the Winklevoss twins are also using metrics from NASDAQ. So it's kind of interesting here that there is some type of a symbiotic relationship that's either forming or it's already formed. Though this is something that's going to be very, very critical to understand and to take a look at. But before we move on, I want to dive into what's going on in Chile, and it's some good news. It's just a small mention here, but earlier this month, Bitcoinist reported that Chilean cryptocurrency exchanges Buda, OrionX, and CryptoMarket had filed an appeal in the country's appeal court following the unexpected closure of their bank accounts from Itaú or Itua Corpo Bank, which is the Bank of Nova Scotia. And, well, what happened was is they won. The exchanges won the battle against the banks. And this has been great. This should be interpreted as positive news for those of you that are worried that the wealthy South American countries' governments have or were making efforts to potentially ban Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. But this just goes to show that you can't ban it. You can't stop it. You can possibly slow it down with some regulations, but even that, you really can't do. Since we're talking about lawsuits, well, here's an interesting one. A community movement that has grown over 600 individuals in just 2 days in pursuing legal action against Bitcoin.com and its owner, Roger Ver, for deliberately misrepresenting new users into buying Bitcoin Cash instead of Bitcoin. Now, Bitcoin.com is undoubtedly a prized domain in the Bitcoin space. And this is interesting because even when I started investing in cryptocurrencies, I was really confused by all that was going on with Bitcoin.com. It's likely that anyone interested in finding out about the world's first and most valuable cryptocurrency will instinctively type it into their browser, just like I did, or immediately see it at the top results of a Google search. As a matter of fact, when you're Googling buy Bitcoin, the first result is buy.bitcoin.com. Now, when you click on the link, a user is greeted with the following screen of saying Bitcoin.com, buy Bitcoin Cash with credit card, or buy Bitcoin Core with credit card. The logos are not only very similar and even the same color, but it provides for a very, very confusing interaction with the person going to the site. And Bitcoin.com is the only website that refers to Bitcoin as Bitcoin Core. Now, the Bitcoin Core name refers to the Bitcoin software client, which is also known as the Satoshi client, and was originally called simply Bitcoin, but was later renamed to distinguish it from the Bitcoin network and currency. What's more is that Bitcoin Cash option is presented at the top without their respective BTC and BCH tickers. Anyone unfamiliar with the difference between the two will undoubtedly be confused, if not completely fooled into believing that they might have purchased Bitcoin when in reality they've purchased Bitcoin Cash. Well, that's the problem. And that's the reason that about 600 plus are basically suing. The lawsuit is gaining steam in Telegram group chats created by user at MoneyTrigs, an admin at CoinTimes and co-owner of CoinDaily, and has grown over 600 members in just a couple of days. Now, the group is basically saying that it has attracted some community bigwigs, some of which include Bitcoin entrepreneurs Charlie Sherm and Richard Hart, XOTIKA.TV CEO John Carvalho, and Ibera.org founder, who's been urging people to report Bitcoin.com and Bitcoin.com wallet for fraud. Now, this is going to be something to follow because honestly, in my personal opinion, Roger Ver has been nothing but a pain in a lot of people's behinds, especially just shouting at the top of his lungs that Bitcoin isn't real Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash is the real Bitcoin. And honestly, I've even tweeted back at this guy saying, hey, you know, why not just stop bitching and moaning and just start doing some work? If it is, why not just prove it? But, it is what it is. I'm just glad to see that this lawsuit is out there. I'm glad to see someone is holding, I guess, a fire to him and making him accountable for fooling people that they're buying Bitcoin when they're really just buying Bitcoin Cash. All right, one more bit of news that's really, really interesting here is that France is to tax gains from cryptocurrency sales as capital gains of movable property. Now, the country has moved to reduce the rates from its 45% to a flat 19%. Earlier this year, the High Administrative Court of France was seized on behalf of several taxpayers, challenging that the instituted regimen in force since July 2014 related to taxation of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrency-related transactions. Now, as reported by French media, Le Monde, the Council of State, has moved to rule partially in favor of the claimants under the above case. The institution has decided to reconsider the way gains stem from the sale of cryptocurrencies are regulated, and it now sees them as profits made of movable property. This means that they are to be taxed with a flat rate of 19%, which is substantially lower than the previous position, even if you add the generalized social contribution or the CSG of up to 17.2%. So I wanted to take some time to bring some interesting news to you guys. So last week on the 25th, the CCG crew kind of went to the Internet of Money conference event, one of those things, which was held at the Music Box down in Chicago. And it was really cool. It was interesting, a bit of an eye-opener to see so many people in the same space as us, ranging from ages 11 years old to, gosh, I don't know, even over 65. And it was really nice. It was a very safe and fun environment, a great way for a lot of us to connect. And the best part was that Mr. Andreas Antonopoulos was there, along with a bunch of other people, such as the team from the Let's Talk Bitcoin podcast, which if you guys haven't checked them out, definitely check it out. It's hosted by Adam B. Levine, and it's a great podcast. It's been running for 5 years, so it was basically a Let's Talk Bitcoin 5 year podcast event that was recorded live at the space. Not only that, on our way home, the team was kind of chatting and thinking and mulling over some things on how to make the space that we have over at CryptoCoinGuru.net a little bit better for our audience. And well, in light of this, or we were maybe swept up in the moment or whatnot, but we all kind of decided that we're going to take the membership model and, for lack of better words, decentralize it. So what we're doing is we took down the member section, the paid section, or the paywall, and we've left the entire site open to everyone. And what that means is it's free. Just have at it. And what we're hoping is that you guys, the listeners, the readers, the contributors, are going to contribute by keeping us going. And, you know, whether it's like a penny, a dollar, or $1,000, I can only hope that your contributions will help pay for the bills, the hosting, the domains, and all that fun stuff that go into keeping, you know, a site running, so that we can continue to provide you guys with the content. And obviously, you know, we're hoping that possibly this could become a venture where, you know, our time is compensated and then we can dedicate more time to this. So in that spirit, we've kind of decided to make this an open, free platform of learning. That aside, we've also kind of decided that we're going to take contributions and donations in crypto. Since we're talking about crypto, why not do it in crypto? So the major four, Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum, and Bitcoin Cash, as well as Dash and Zcash. So those six, you know, as you wish, you can always throw a little bit of love our way so we can keep going and keep providing you with as much content as possible. And on that note, we're also looking at possibly getting either bringing on another member from the CCG team to talk on the podcast as well. So we have a dialogue going. We don't know when that's going to happen, but eventually, as well as maybe some guests who are prominent in this space or who would love to get on here and speak to you guys. If you guys are sponsors or if you guys are a company that would like to sponsor us, hit us up at our email address. Just go to our website and hit the contact button and get in touch with us. Or shoot us a message on Twitter and we'll go from there. You guys know what that sound is. You can find us on Twitter at _CryptoCoinGuru or on our Facebook account. And as usual, you'll find all the information and fun stuff, learning stuff over at CryptoCoinGuru.net. With that, this is episode 15 in the can. My name is Singh, and I'll see you guys next week on This Week in Crypto.